Ethics of Science and Communication. And science, by definition, is an enterprise that is supposed to be critical, and it's critical in many levels. The communal level is such that the scientific community is able to critically evaluate submitted knowledge, knowledge claims. Conferences and other forums of communication, they are about disseminating knowledge and to gain knowledge from the other side. But the most important forum of communicating information is through publications, articles, and so forth. However, we'll take a look at congresses and conferences and other sorts of gatherings. Now, it's a place to meet other researchers and to learn about the current research. However, when meeting other scientists, necessarily the presentations are not the most important thing, but rather making and maintaining connections and also to discuss in an informal manner about research and future ventures and all that. Now the question is, what are the ethical perspectives that are related to these gatherings? And a decision ought to be made by an individual scientist whether to go or not to go to a conference. Now, there's a number of things that needs to be considered. The scientific enterprise, even though it is a global venture, it often happens that the most important conferences and congresses are located in a place that for many scientists the distance is rather long. So if a conference is in the other side of the world, one needs to consider whether it is worth going to the conference. Also, the conferences and congresses, they might take a lot of time if it's a several day congress or week congress. It's quite a lot of time to spend on communicating one's ideas and getting information. Also, the amount of preparation that is needed for attending the congress is one thing to consider. Basically, the gains would be to promote one's own project and get the scientific community to recognize the project or results and disseminate the ideas in order for the ideas to have an impact. Who is to fund the congress or the trip? It might turn out that there's a lot of money that one needs to attend a congress, and as the limited amount of money that a project might have, it might turn out that there one has to choose which conferences to attend. Also, when looking at the conferences that one might attend, one might think that, okay, the conference strictly on my field is the most important one, and it could be so, but as science progresses, new avenues between fields of study might turn out to be very important, and the case could turn out to be such that one would benefit more on attending a congress or conference that is somewhere in between fields. New fields are always risky. It might be that the new field or unconventional forum for presenting ideas is not, after all, that important. And as all this takes time, that is to attend, travel, prepare, and so forth, one ought to think what could be done instead. It would be terrible waste if one turned out to waste a lot of time if the conference turned out to be not so important, or if the impact of one's presentation, for example, isn't that important. Okay, well, let's take a look at the preparation. If one decides to go to a conference, one needs to decide what to say. There's always a number of things that are that can be said, and most of the time, the time that is allocated to each speaker is rather limited. And as it might be, a researcher might have worked on a project for a long time, let's say a year, and gained a lot of knowledge about the issue, and the time that one might have for the presentation could be very short, 20 minutes, half an hour, or what have you. And one needs to see what is the most important thing to say. Is it the general overview of the whole project, all of the research, or should one present some selected results that seem to be the most important? When communicating to other people, one needs to realize the makeup of the audience, that is, what kind of audience one is talking to. If the audience is seen as being very specialized, then a general overview might not be the best way to go, but rather pick some results that are immediately obvious for the audience, or the audience can immediately understand the importance of selected results. Now, as the scientific field is rather competitive, there's also the question of whether to reveal all the insights that one has gained, or should one withhold information from the audience. It could be that one has very good ideas about future research, and if one disseminates those ideas in a conference, somebody might actually pick up on those ideas, and one might find a fierce competition in the field. Preparing for the presentation, the tone of the presentation, how does one formulate one's ideas? Is one to trying to convince the audience that this is the case and give a rigorous argument for it, or should one be more careful and, for example, present one's ideas such that this is only probable or there's some indications as to how things are and so forth. When preparing for a presentation, one could actually use a lot of time fine-tuning the presentation. Spending a week on fine-tuning is not an exaggeration of how much one could use time, but in the end one needs to decide when is the presentation good enough. What about the organization of a conference? When the call for papers for conferences is published, it is normally disseminated rather for a rather large field, but it could be aimed at a more specialized, a smaller crowd. So when organizing a conference, the organizers must have an idea on who are the people that are to be invited, or who does one wish to attend the conference. Normally conferences have some keynote speakers, and those are rather important because they gain traction and interest in the field. If the keynote speakers are famous, let's say old dogs, metaphorically, obviously, the famous people will actually be important in the sense that people will think about the conference as being prestigious. However, it could be oftentimes the case that the so-called old dogs are not so prolific in their research, and it could be that rising stars could actually have more novel approaches, and they could be substantially more interesting. Also, as scientific community must reproduce, that is, new people must come into the field, and the way into a field is to present new ideas, and students should also have a role many times. So the organizers should try to look into a balance between prestigious scientists and new rising stars and students. And then an issue relating to gender is also important. Some fields have a majority of males or majority of females in the field, and many times it seems somehow odd in the 21st century that the distribution of genders is somehow biased. So when planning a conference, if it turns out that the most or all speakers are either male or female, what should one think about that? Is there some sort of a bias within the organizers that is in play? And the same goes for the organizers. If the organizing committee consists of males or females, is that something that it promotes a bias Or is it a result of a bias, or is it just an accident? And the same goes for speakers and participants and so forth. And it should raise attention if the distribution of genders isn't somewhat equal. Conferences are not often organized solely by a university, but oftentimes there are foundations that provide funding. There could be private sector sponsors that are involved in the organization, and these could present a problem. Now, let's assume an example. For example, a conference on medical research, and if the sponsor is a company that produces medicine, then could it be the case that the sponsor tries to influence the makeup of the conference? Is it the case that some critical voices are suppressed, or is it a marketing event for the sponsor in a way that is not appropriate? And the same goes for other kinds of funders. Let's say that there's a economic conference, and the funder is a stakeholder within the economics. Should one be concerned about that, and what to think about that? So objectivity and neutrality of science is at stake here. Now, finally, just an idea on how to approach the communication side of scientific life. One could approach the ethical issues from a number of different points of views. One could think about consequences on each question, or one could think about the virtues of the stakeholders and participants. One could think about principles on how to organize matters. So let's say that you pick up issues relating to attending to conferences. You could think about the consequences of either attending or not attending, and trying to come up with a balance sheet of what is the value of positive and negative consequences. Or you could think about a virtuous scientist. How would a virtuous scientist choose in such a case? Or what sorts of principles could there be in play when thinking about that? If you look at organizing a conference, for example, making the choices could be viewed from the consequentialist point of view, or the virtue point of view, or the principles point of view, and so forth. So when thinking about ethical issues, one ought to identify the issue, problem, or potential problem, and all the things that are relevant, and then choose a theory or a way of thinking about it, and possibly have a number of different ethical perspectives to think about those things. Right. So this video is to open up some ethical issues relating to scientific communications, and then I've tried to make it rather dense so that the issues don't explode, or the number of issues doesn't explode.